How human was Jesus? And why by a sword? This is a few days before his crucifixion. Jesus clears again the money changers and the hawkers single-handedly out of the temple. Mark 11:15 through 19. In chapter 23 of his gospel, Matthew recorded Jesus blasting the religious scribes and Pharisees in no uncertain terms. He is exposing them as a generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? He calls them whited sepulchres, which appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanliness and hypocrisy and iniquity. Jesus was not a pacifistic do-gooder. He was furious with the religious hypocrites. When he finished with the Last Supper, he told his disciples, "He that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." And they said, "Lord, here are two swords." And he said unto them, "It's enough." Luke 23:36-39. Jesus knew that Judas was to betray him to the same people that he had blasted. Jesus asked about the swords, as he was tempted to give them a good threshing. This shows that Jesus was not only God in human form, but that he was also 100% man with human emotions and tempted like any of us. Matthew 26:36-44. And he went, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. They came to a place called Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, "You sit here while I go pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said to them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me. Pray that you will not enter into temptation." The temptation was to put up a good fight and to see them running. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. He had to wrestle this one through in prayer alone. And he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't know, Father, if I can go through with this crucifixion business. I don't know if I have it in me. I'd rather put up a good fight. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. My will is to lay an ambush and set these hypocrites screaming." He seeks help from his disciples to pray with him. And he comes to the disciples and finds them asleep and says to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Simon Peter had fallen asleep and did not pray to not enter into temptation, as is soon evident. "The spirit indeed is willing. My spirit wants to definitely do what my Father asks of me, but the flesh is weak. Believe me, my flesh wants to do something else." And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, then your will is done." And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them. And he went away again and prayed a third time, the same words, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me." Luke 22:42-45. "I don't know, Father, if I can do this. I need your help. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I want to do your will above all else, but please send me help, Father. If I ever needed help, it is now." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. This human temptation could only be overcome with angelic intervention. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as if it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. This shows the intensity of the battle. This was the greatest battle ever fought, which turned the tide of all of history. This battle is still here for each of us. Do we accept God's will and plan for our life, or do we yield to the temptation and give in to our own will? With angelic help and agonizing, desperate prayer, the victory was won, and Jesus accepted the cup. And he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners." Here we see that Jesus had won the battle. He had peace. He doesn't ask them to pray with him or for him anymore. He had received help from the Father and had accepted the cup, and he was fully determined to drink it. No turning back. He said, "Rise, let us be going, for he is at hand that betrays me." In Luke 22, Mark 14, 45. And while he yet spoke, behold, a multitude, and he that was with him, called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near and said, "Master, Master," and kissed him. But Jesus said unto him, "Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" John 18, verse 4 through 8. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said unto them, "I am he." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he said unto them, "I am he," they went backwards and fell to the ground. This shows that Jesus had total power and full command over the whole situation. And then he asked them again, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he." When they, which were about him, saw what would follow, they said unto him, "Lord, shall we smite with the sword?" Luke 22:49. "Shall we attack him?" Simon Peter did not wait for the answer. He fell asleep while praying, and thus fell for the temptation. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servants and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus, John 18:10 and 11. Simon Peter was obviously aiming for his head, but Malchus dodged, and so he only lost his ear. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Put up your sword into the sheath." "Okay, that's enough, Peter. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" And as there was no retaliation to Peter's attack, it shows that Jesus had absolute authority and control over the situation, because he had accepted what his Father was asking of him. Matthew 26:52-54. "For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Don't you think that now I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Peter, this cannot be fought in the flesh. I can call on heaven right now and wipe the floor with this lot. However, I have accepted the cup that my Father has given me to drink, and I am determined to drink it. Otherwise, then, how can the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? And he touched his ear, and he healed him. Luke 22:51-53. Nobody could do anything unless Jesus permitted them. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains and the elders which were come to him, "Are you come out as against a thief with swords and with staves, when I was daily with you in the temple, and you didn't touch me? But this is your hour and the power of darkness." After this, Jesus allowed them to do whatever their evil hearts desired. He had won the battle. He had surrendered his own will. And he had peace, complete peace. He was invincible, indestructible, unshakable. He knew that they would torture and crucify his body, but never could they conquer or destroy his spirit and soul. And that outraged them more than anything else. He was unflinching and did not stoop to their level by railing accusation for accusation. Then the band and the captain of officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away, John 18. Nothing could shake him now. Not the accusations flying, not being spat upon, punched in the face, scourged, a crown of thorns pounded on his head, and finally crucified, hanging naked on the cross for 6 hours. The revolting sponge and vinegar, while these religious vipers spewed their poison at him. Rock solid until his mission was fulfilled, and we could have salvation available to us. And we would somewhat begin to grasp what it meant, "You are bought with a price," 1 Corinthians 6:20. He was in all points tempted like we are. He told Pilate, "My kingdom," he didn't say religion, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. Otherwise would my servants fight." Can you see why Paul wrote, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin," it says in Hebrews 4:15. If Jesus would have taken up arms, than his followers who have just been another worldly, divisive, militia religion. Religions draw circles that shut people out. Instead, Jesus lifts us high above the quagmires of religion and gives us the power to become sons of God in John 1:12. God has zero interest in religion, as he is the purest form of love. He is not only our loving Father, he is more. He is also the energy of quantum physics that holds all mass together, including you and me, and he created us to love each other. To show more amazing details of what Jesus went through, including the sponge and the vinegar, then download When Enough is Enough, The Whipping Boy. At the site johanpeters.in, you find 65 plus pamphlets like these on Noah's Ark, The Matrix of All Matter, Giants, and you can choose from 9 books. Other sites sell my books, but here all are completely free. No cookies, no information requests, so we can pass it on.